and a little child shall lead them, one who is and is to come. And a little child shall lead them, the long-awaited one. A shoot shall grow from Jesse's stem, God's Spirit resting there. Wisdom, might, and living in awe of God, God's delight, the garment he'll wear. And a little child shall lead them, one who is and is to come. And a little child shall lead them, the long-awaited one. With righteousness he will judge the poor and decide for the meek of the earth. He will strike out every wickedness and give peace a chance on earth. And a little child shall lead them, one who is and is to come. And a little child shall lead them, the long-awaited one. Like the wolf and the lamb, the calf and the lion, all creation will live as one. And none shall hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. A signal to all people. And a little child shall lead them, one who is and is to come. And a little child shall lead them, the long-awaited one. The long-awaited one.
Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. It is week 40 of our online worship, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning. The color for the day is blue, and the season is Advent. And as with all seasons of our lives, it is passing very quickly. This is the third Sunday in Advent, and there are only four. That means that the pandemic Christmas of 2020 is just around the corner. Now, our Advent journey began this year at the Jordan River, where we met the prophet John the Baptist. He was hanging out in the wilderness with a bunch of losers, and his message for them was contrary to everything that they had ever been taught. He told them that there is hope, that God is not angry with them. God was not done with them. The world may have treated them harshly, but God still believed in them. It was not too late. Be baptized. You see, in this darkest season of the year and in the darkest seasons of our lives, John points toward the light of the world, the Christmas child, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, last week, we found ourselves in the hills outside of Bethlehem, anticipating a royal birth, and we were surprised to find ourselves in the company of shepherds. It was a surprise. Jesus would also be born in a cave. And where? Behind a Motel 6 in a sleepy, unimportant village of Bethlehem. No crib for his bed. He would be laid in a feed trough. Yes, we have learned from the very beginning of this Christmas story that God included the last, the lost, the least, and the forgotten. It's all right there in the story. Now, the world does not tend to value the poor and the hungry very much. The diseased and the disabled, they make us uncomfortable. And sinners, they should expect to be punished, right? That's the way of the world. But God was up to something 2,000 years ago. God would use the last, the least, the lost, and the forgotten to change the course of history. Now, what should we expect on this third Sunday in Advent? More of the same. We're going to meet a carpenter from Nazareth by the name of Joseph, and he was a most unusual choice to be the father of the Messiah. It is good that we are here. Let us continue now in our worship. I'm going to light the candles, and I would encourage you to join the angels in singing our opening hymn, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Once you sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, you have seen his little star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. All creation join in praising God the Father, Spirit, Son.
The day that the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Come, Lord Jesus, we are waiting for your coming. Come, come quickly. We need you now more than ever. May our worship prepare our hearts for the coming Messiah, and may our worship inspire us to service. We pray in the name that is above all others, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're moving now to the tradition of the lighting of the Advent wreath. The first week we lit the prophet's candle. Last week we lit the Bethlehem candle. Today the third candle, the shepherd's candle. As I light the Advent wreath, Carl's going to share a piece of music with us.
In the dark days, light a candle, sign a blessing once again, bringing hope to every nation, pierce the darkness, help us mend. Come, Redeemer, come again. In the dark days, light a candle. God is coming once again, feeding us with food and a hope of freedom from our wilderness. God, our shelter, come again.
We are headed up to Coopville now to Judy Smith. Judy is waiting to read for us. Judy, as you may know, is a photographer extraordinaire and also the best grandma around. Judy, over to you.
The lesson this morning is from the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Judy. You read so beautifully, and give our love to Dwight. You notice now I'm in a different location. I'm here in the church offices by this beautiful Christmas tree that was put up by Verna Lawson and decorated too by Julie Humling. And of course, we always have Bill Cochran and Earl Lawson putting that up as well. We're very thankful for that. You know, Joseph, we're focusing on Joseph this morning, and he's a part of every Christmas pageant. But don't you ever wonder what this Christmas journey was really like for him? Perhaps, just perhaps, with a little holiday magic, we could find out more about his story. I don't like my place in life right now. What am I supposed to do? You tell me. How can I move forward in a world that's been turned upside down? I am Joseph. I'm a carpenter from Nazareth. That's all I've known. And now my story is nonsensical. What am I to do? Can you tell me? Let me start in the beginning. Nazareth is a very tiny village. It's a village of hard-working peasants, a tiny village. There were not many women there of marrying age, not in Nazareth. But I was the lucky one. I had fallen in love with Mary. I had been engaged to the daughter of Anna and Joachim. And we had set a date. We were legally bound now, bound to each other, though we would spend the next year courting, you might say. This was the tradition, and traditions are important to the Jewish people. It was the happiest time of my life. I was sharing my days with a woman that I loved, and we dreamed of a future together. We made plans for next week. We made plans for next year. We made plans for the rest of our lives. We were carefree and in love. It was a magical time. Our families were happy and our friends were excited to drink wine with us together at our wedding feast. Everything, you see, everything was according to plan. Everything made sense. God had blessed us beyond measure. Young and in love, our entire future was right there before us, and it was rich with promise, and it was rich with hope. And then three words. Three words changed everything. Three words took my breath away. It broke my heart, and it turned my life upside down. Those three words, I am pregnant. Now, I'm smart enough to know that those three words have the power to change lives. Those three little words are among the most joyful that could ever be spoken. Those three little words are filled with promise and hope. But not in my case. In my case, those three little words put an end to my hopes, put an end to my dreams. Those three little words meant embarrassment and shame. Embarrassment and shame for me and for my family, and most certainly for the woman that I loved. You see, I don't like my place in life right now. What am I supposed to do? You tell me. You see, Mary and I had never, we'd never been together, not as man and wife. No, it was forbidden. It would be disrespectful to her. It'd be disrespectful to her parents and to my parents and to the tradition. It would certainly be disrespectful to God. No, we had never been together, not like man and wife. You see, this child was not mine. And to her credit, Mary never claimed that the baby was mine either. She insisted, though, that she had been faithful to me. That she had been faithful to me, and that this pregnancy was somehow a God thing. That it was somehow a God thing, good news. And she said that an angel had come to her, and well, none of this makes any sense. Does it make any sense to you? I ask you, why would God work in this way? Why would God punish me with a baby that was not mine? How could this greatest gift in life turn upon me and cause me such pain? I don't like my place in life right now. What am I supposed to do? Am I to take part now in this lie? Do I cover up and pretend that the baby is mine? Do I go forward with this wedding, not sure if I can ever really trust Mary again? Or do I let her suffer? Do I let this woman that I love suffer the consequences of her own actions? The consequences, you know, could be extreme. She could be put out of the village, a scorned woman. In fact, she could be put to death. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I don't like my place in life. None of this is as I had planned. I never expected myself to be in this mess. And I should add that I did nothing wrong. I've tried to live an honorable and true life. I've tried to be faithful. I've kept the commandments. I've kept the traditions of the elders. I have trusted God with my entire life. And this is my reward? A mess? I can't sleep. and I can't eat, and I see no way out. You get the idea? I don't like my place in life right now. If there is a God in heaven, if there is a God in heaven, I would like to know what God is doing, how God is acting, and what God is thinking. That's what I would like to know right now, because I honestly, I don't see it. I don't understand. Yes, a little Christmas magic on this third Sunday of Advent. Joseph. Joseph would put one foot in front of the other until he arrived in Bethlehem. Joseph. Joseph would put one foot in front of the other as he fled with his family as refugees to Egypt. Joseph, he was highly favored by God, but you would not necessarily know that through observation. You see, his life was not at all easy. He lived into a mystery that he could not understand. He would never see Jesus grow up to be a man. He just moved forward, putting one foot in front of the other, one day at a time, trusting God, loving Mary, and caring for a son who was not his and would never really belong to him. How do you trust in something that you cannot see, something that you cannot touch or feel? What are we to do when life does not follow the rules? When nothing seems to make sense, how are we to go forward, not knowing where the road will take us, not knowing what the future holds for us? It's scary. It's scary walking through darkness, facing the hardships, enduring the loneliness, battling depression, stumbling through the darkness with a faith that might be a little shaky sometimes. It is terrifying, uncertain what the future might hold. We have no choice but to go forward, putting one foot in front of the other. And so with that reality, I welcome you to the human race. But think about it. Could the future hold more perils than the perils of 2020? Now, I don't know, if you're like me, then I think you're sick and tired of 2020. We have grown weary. Our life bears little resemblance to our pre-pandemic life. In February, that's right, just last February, life was not without its struggles, but the foundation of our lives, work and practice, seemed to be more secure. The ground under our feet was not moving quite so much. Now, personally, I like predictable. Routine is just fine with me. I would have not done well on the Oregon Trail. Truth be known, I probably would have stayed in St. Louis. And though I have had it very good in this pandemic, I have had it very good, never worried about food, living in a safe community, surrounded by you, a community that's been mostly virus-free. And yet still, I'm tired of this. I miss seeing you all in person. I miss your laughter. I miss your tears. I miss your hugs. I'm tired of this. If you're like me, you want your life back. Yes, we are weary this holiday season. In fact, in some ways, it hardly feels like a holiday season at all. All I want for Christmas is for all of us to be back together again at Trinity Lutheran Church. I want my grandsons to run up that center aisle to blow out the candles. I want to be here for the Sunday school Christmas pageant. I want to hear our choir singing.
Yes, I want us all to be home for Christmas. We are weary. And it is a community-wide weariness, the likes of which I have never seen in my life. We may be done with this virus, but it's become clear that the virus is not done with us. And so we must carry on, one day at a time, one day closer, moving through the darkness toward the light of a new day. Yes, we will not be home for Christmas, not this year, not in 2020. But then again, 2,000 years ago, it seems that no one was home on Christmas. Think about it. Mary and Joseph, they were on the road. The shepherds were living in the fields with their sheep, under the stars, in caves. And the wise men were plodding along through the darkness of the desert of Saudi Arabia, following a star. No one was home. No one was where they expected to be at Christmas 2,000 years ago. And it sounds a lot like Christmas in 2020, does it not? Now, I have spent my life in this work, living with mystery and wonder and awe, always having more questions than answers, proclaiming grace, trying to inspire God's people to be a better version of themselves for the common good of our community, trying to make a difference in the community and in the world. And we have done that. We have done that together. And then along came 2020. And I'm no longer sure what God is doing, what God is up to, how God is working in this mess. I'm not sure that I wouldn't have been better off being a financial consultant, a travel planner, or the cushiest job in Freeland, the local grocer. Don't get me wrong. I love my life. I have more than I ever could have expected or hoped for. I have been blessed with a great staff here at the church, serving you, a great community of believers. I like my life, but right now I just don't like my place in life. How about you? Are you where you expected to be this Advent? Do you sometimes wonder how God is working in the world? Do you sometimes wonder if God is working at all? Are you fed up with plans that don't pan out, with family members and friends who betray you? Have you tried to play your entire life by the rules, only to be disappointed? Now, by any measure, I am blessed. That said, I don't really appreciate this feeling of being totally out of control. I don't appreciate, I guess, being a creature and feeling my mortality every morning as I creak out of bed. I really don't appreciate being a creature. I don't understand why I must someday die and leave my little grandsons and all of you. I don't like my place in life right now. I don't understand God's ways. I don't understand why so many good people in our parish are suffering unimaginable grief. I don't like my place in life. There are too many things that just don't make sense. And I've got to tell you, folks, if I were God, I would be doing things differently. You see, the truth is, I guess, is I would rather be God myself. I'd rather bathe in the warm light of understanding, but instead I'm left out in the cold darkness of unknowing. If I only understood, then I would not need faith. I would rather know for certain than to trust my life to faith or fate. So what's a preacher to do? What are we to do? We are to carry on. We are to wake up each day, put on a tie, face the struggles, put one foot in front of the other, trusting something we cannot see or touch or understand. This is the Christmas story. This is the story of the prophet John the Baptist, who died in darkness, in a prison cell, at the age of 31, maybe. This is the story of Joseph, whose life was turned upside down by three little words, "I am pregnant." This is the story of Mary and Elizabeth, and next week, we will look at the lives of Mary and Elizabeth, these women of faith. But until next week, I want you to know something. I want you to know that you are not alone. Whatever you're feeling, there are others of us who are feeling it too. You are not alone, and you are not wandering alone in the dark. No, I am right there with you in 2020. Joseph put one foot in front of the other. He lived and he died not understanding, but somehow trusting God, trusting something that he could not see or touch. Yes, faith is believing in things that we cannot see. And that, for this third Sunday in Advent, is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Must have been surprised at where this road had taken him, 'cause never in a million lives would he have dreamed of Bethlehem. And standing at the manger, saw with his own eyes a message from the angel come alive. And Joseph said, "Why me? I'm just a simple man of trade. Why here with all the rulers in the world? Why inside this table filled with hay? Why her? She's just an ordinary girl. And now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say, but this is such a strange way to say. And now I'm not one to second guess. But this is such a strange way to say the world. Oh, 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 oh. And now I'm not one to second guess what angels have to say. But this is such a strange way to say the word. This is such a strange way, such a strange way.
Thank you, Carl. We're blessed by that beautiful music. We lift our hearts now to God in prayer as a community praying together. Each petition will end, "Hear us, O God," and our response will be, "Your mercy is great." Let us pray.
God of radiance, anticipating the coming light to our weary world, we pray for the church, our communities, and all according to their needs. Bless and guide the people of this church. Give us faithful hearts, ears attentive to your world, eyes which see the needs of others, hands skilled in building up the body of Christ, and tongues swift to pray, forgive, and encourage. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Guide the rulers of the world with your spirit, so that, like you, they love justice and offer mercy. Use them to repair lives and cities ruined by violence, hatred, and discrimination. Establish your peace among the nations. In this world, good people risk their lives for the sake of justice, human dignity, and safety. Shield, strengthen, and direct them. Help them to serve with competence and integrity. Keep them from harm. Heal and raise them when they falter. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. In this season of unrelenting political turmoil, here and abroad, we call to you. Like Joseph, we know that hope is believing in spite of the evidence and watching the evidence change. Our hope is in you. Let us believe in even that which sometimes seems to be beyond believing. That kindness and civility will lead the way. That seeing you in one another will lead us to reconciliation. And that there is always a way forward to your abundant life of love and hope. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Grant healing to the brokenhearted and to all who suffer in body, mind, and spirit, especially those who have lost loved ones to the virus or other causes. Guide those who develop, distribute, and administer the COVID-19 vaccines. Strengthen all who care for others and give us your everlasting joy. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. O God, your light shines in the face of our brother Jesus. Let us be sharers of the light and grace of Christ as we travel each day in the church and beyond these walls. Give us eyes to see the joy, ears to hear the laughter, and hearts to hold each other close. Hear us, O God, for your mercy is great. Hear the hopes and prayers of our hearts, O God, and magnify our joy at the coming birth of the one who is and was and is to come, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you. Please share a sign of peace and greeting with those that you're worshiping with. And if you're worshiping alone, pick up the phone, send an email, or write a card and share Sabbath greetings with someone who would like to hear from you today. Just a few announcements this morning. Next Sunday, December 20th, we will have worship as usual online for you. But then we're going to give you an opportunity to gather here in the church parking lot at 4 p.m., long after the Seahawks game is over, for Christmas caroling in your cars, primarily with masks on. We'll take every precaution to keep you safe, but also give you the opportunity to see each other and sing some of your favorite Christmas carols. Then as we move towards the celebration of Christmas on December 23rd, we are going to be showing the Christmas Eve candlelight service from last year, 2019. On Christmas Eve, December 24th, we're going to have a COVID Christmas Eve service from Trinity Lutheran Church, ending with Silent Night and the glow of candlelight. December 25th, Carl and I will be spending Christmas morning with you, singing Christmas lullabies and reflections on the Christmas story. Now, we have a lot of people watching us and worshiping with us across the state, across the country. I just want to give a shout out for a moment to Patty in Edgewood, Washington. Hello, Patty. And to Selma, who's in the Castro Valley of California, and to Beverly, who watches and worships with us every week from Fargo, North Dakota. We are blessed by your presence with us. Thanks for worshiping with us. Now I'm going to call on Deacon Amy, our Director of Christian Education. Deacon Amy is going to tell us everything we need to know about Christian education. Amy?
Thank you, Pastor Jim. We do have a lot of education opportunities at Trinity. Every Sunday morning at 9:30, adult education meets on Zoom. This Sunday, the 13th, and next Sunday, the 20th, Pastor Tom Kidd is speaking about how the church was saved from being the keeper of public morality. Should be interesting. This morning at 11 o'clock, Sunday school students meet on Zoom. And next Sunday morning, confirmation will meet on Zoom at 11 o'clock. Every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, our middle school youth group meets on Zoom for fun and games. If you would like to be included on any of these Zoom invitation email lists, be sure to contact me or the church office. Thanks.
Thank you, Amy. And thank you, too. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your cards. Thank you for your financial support of this ministry that we share together at Trinity Lutheran Church. We dedicate now our gifts and our very lives to God as we sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. From the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Now and forever.
Now receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We started the service with angels. We will end in the same way. Our sending hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory.
Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all you nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time behold him come.
Till next time, be safe, be hopeful. We will get through this together. And know that you're not alone. No, we are one day closer together. Take care.
In peace forever.